Hello, and welcome back to the Nerd Podcast. That's never-ending retro dialogue. Ooh, no special effects. Those are practical effects.
Practical effects. That's not the curveball, by the way.
Okay. I'm Jordan.
I'm Doug.
And we are here with the end of the month for August.
August 2024. Has come, it went. Augustus.
Augustus. Yeah.
Yeah. Next is September.
Yep.
So
it's a wild time.
Summer's almost gone.
Yeah, sweet summer child.
The leaves are going to start changing. Football is, well, by the time this airs, we'll have begun.
Ooh.
We'll have begun.
Soon it'll be spooky time.
Soon it will. Well, it's always spooky time.
That's true.
At this house.
In this area.
Yeah. So, how's it going, man?
It's going all right, you know. Yeah. I'm just hanging out. How are you?
I'm doing well. It's been an interesting week so far.
Yeah.
All good things. I want to flip how we usually do the end of the month, though.
Okay.
So, normally we save the survey question for last.
Okay.
And usually we forget, almost.
Right. Yeah.
And then we cover it in a flurry.
Yeah.
But this month's survey question garnered the most responses that we've ever had.
All right.
So I want to go over those first.
Sounds good.
And then we talk about everything. Okay. So for those who didn't know, the survey question this month was, what musical artist or band has been lost to time that you wish would be rediscovered? And that, I did not realize when I came up with that silly little question, the discussions that I would end up having with coworkers, what people would be posting on Facebook. It's just been pretty neat, especially from the folks who are like super into music.
Yeah.
Because as I talked to one colleague at work, his question was, well, what qualifies being lost to time? Are we talking, you know, they don't tour anymore, they stopped making albums, they broke up, are they all passed, or did someone pass and so they don't even? And I said, well, you know, we could get as specific as we want. I said, but, you know, my idea is that it's a band that you remember listening to.
Mm-hmm.
And for whatever reason, they don't get radio play, or you don't see tours of them. And here's how this question came about.
Yeah.
So every summer, especially in this area, but I'm pretty sure it's across the country. I'm sure it is, obviously. Ohio's not, you know, the center. Well, we are the heart of it.
We are the heart of it.
Well, okay. But, you know, in the summer and fall and whatnot, you get all these reunion tours, right?
Yeah.
Journeys with, you know, Styx and Hearts with Toto and you know, who was it? Jim Blossoms and Sprocket are actually touring right now. Which is funny because Toto Wet Sprocket was actually one of my bands. But we'll get into that. But so as I'm thinking about that, because I had heard a commercial or I seen a post or something, because I think someone went and saw Metallica on Facebook. I think that's right. But Poco came on my flash drive. I have their greatest hits on my flash drive. And I sat there and said, you know, does anyone know who Poco is anymore?
Who is that? I don't know.
You don't even see? And most people even look at me, they're like, who's Poco? And we're talking people my age are like, who's Poco? So that's what spurred
the question.
This question is that. And I think Poco is worth people discovering.
Mm-hmm.
They probably aren't my first pick. But so Poco, for those who don't know, I guess the best way to describe it is they're like Diet Eagles.
Oh, okay.
And actually, you know, at two different times they had people that would either go on to be in the Eagles or they were former Eagles in their band. They're two biggest hits are probably Crazy Love and Call It Love. But they also had hits like Indian Summer, Heart of the Night, picking up the pieces. So yeah, just they're just kind of a nice little middle of the road kind of band that is reminiscent of Eagle Sound, I guess. So here's some of the people's responses, though. This is great that it ended up. Maybe we just need more music questions.
Yeah.
So, my buddy Chuck said, Cracker, The Refreshments, The Clarks, Concrete Blonde.
Okay, I know that.
L7. Concrete Blonde. I wasn't sure I knew, but it sounded familiar. So a lot of these I've been going on Spotify for this last month, just checking out all these ones I've never heard of. Our buddy Jerome said Toad the Wet Sprocket, right, which was one that I had thought of too. Although now they're touring, so I wonder if we can still say that. So anyways, an old buddy Dane said Real Big Fish and Susie and the Banshees, and I don't know either of them. Apparently they're ska.
Yeah, they're ska. I know Real Big Fish is ska. I don't know if Susie and the Banshees is ska.
Okay, well.
I'm sorry. I'm looking at something for research.
No, you're good.
Research.
So yeah, so... but then... an old friend Dave tells Dane that Real Big Fish actually just released a song with Ice Nine Kills.
Wow.
So that's something to look forward to. Yeah. our buddy Michael Nino,
yeah,
says The Thrills.
I don't know them. Do I? Wait, that sounds kind of familiar.
I would say they seem like they're an early 2000s band. Mr. Nino, when you listen to this, if you could correct me on that, I had not heard of them either. Another buddy, John, says Live and Violent Femmes.
Okay,
and. Vinyl Fans for sure, although they are touring now again.
Yeah, okay.
Our buddy Josh went and saw them.
Oh, really? Yeah, you're right. I remember that.
But I tell you, Live, the more I start thinking about that, that is such a great point. Because even though a lot of people my age know Live, mm-hmm. and, you know, Throwing Copper is just an amazing freaking album, they get overshadowed, I think, by all the other 90s... alt, grunge, whatever bands you want to call, you know, they're always way down on the list. So I think that was a good one. So way to go, John. Buddy Biederman says Toto, Joy Davidson, and the Alan Parsons Project. I tell you what, the Alan Parsons Project, that's a good pull.
I've heard of them, but I've never listened to them.
Yeah, I almost wonder if you could put Emerson, Lake, and Palmer in the same, although I think they get more play on classic rock stations, right? Mm-hmm. But OMD, had you ever heard of them?
No.
I didn't realize the acronym. And then, so I had to look them up, and I won't play the song for fear of getting sued by someone. But, That's definitely one. Toto's an interesting one, though, because of the song Africa.
Yeah.
I think they're still a known commodity.
Yeah. Well, but, you remember a couple years ago when that was covered by Weezer. That was
Weezer. Yeah. And, I mean, there's been other people. Quiet Drive did a cover of it. Leo, who's the Norwegian heavy metal dude, did a cover of it. But... I would hazard a guess Africa would be the only song some people could say is from Toto. So Toto definitely is in there. And then my cousin Erica talked about Concrete Blonde, and then she mentioned the Crash Test Dummies, which was interesting because I've only ever listened to the one album of theirs. And she's right, they are different. Now, she did bring up Genesis, too.
Okay.
Now, and again, I look at it from someone my age. I mean, I know who Genesis is.
Right.
I mean, I listen to them all the time. But does anyone of my kids' age? Now, my kids both do because
of you.
Because of me. But that's an interesting one. So I think that could be a good one. And then a couple other people from work. Let me pull up the notes here. So my colleague Mike brought up two. He said Fugazi and Bad Brains. Never heard of either of them.
No.
Believe they're both 90s. But the point he brought up is they were more indie, and they never really did big labels. So does that count? If you never went, you know, commercial, can you say you're lost to time? So because it's, you just didn't make it.
Right.
So that's an interesting, because then you'd have some other bands like, you know, well, I mean, think of all the regional bands, but, you know, I'm thinking of ones that, you know, I've listened to over the years, like Uncle Tupelo or Bottle Rockets. They were more indie, I believe. So, yeah. Interesting.
Yeah.
So, it again, what parameters do you put on there? And then my colleague, Jason, from work, said Four Squirrels. And okay. That's F-O-L, Squirrels. And I had never heard of them. And then he told me this story about them. And this is in this... He's the one who brought up what are the parameters, because when they finally got this album made and they were going on tour to promote the album, they were in a car crash and two of the original members died.
Oh.
But they still released the album to, you know, honor them. So, I mean, they are lost in time because they didn't get to do anything else, but, you know... It's kind of like the Traveling Wilburys with Roy Orbison. They didn't make any more because he died, you know? So, but I tell you what, check out Four Squirrels. Okay. I listened to that album on Spotify.
Yeah.
It's pretty darn good.
Okay.
It was pretty good. But, so I asked my kids, though. Obviously, they're younger. It's harder to pick something with those parameters. So I tasked them with what artists that you don't remember hearing growing up in this house.
Yeah.
Which is hard because we play a lot of different stuff. But which ones have you discovered that I didn't listen to that are older that you really dig? Wyatt's was King Crimson. They're a 70s prog rock band. I actually, for Weldy's 50th, I got him one of their albums from 1974, so that they're the same age, to have him listen to. So yeah, that was his answer. We did kind of talk about, he did bring up, and I'll ask you this since you're a generation above them.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, well, what about Evanescence, though? He goes, I haven't heard anything about them since they had... Bring you back to life. Are they still doing stuff?
I don't know if they're still doing stuff, but there's definitely... I mean, people my age definitely remember...
Sure.
Evanescence, like...
But I wonder if you just... Have they bled into another generation, or did they...
Oh, I think they're pretty solidly my generation.
Yeah. So, you know, instead of... So, like, with me, even though the Eagles were a generation before in CCR and stuff, you know, they were so popular, they bled through, and some just stopped.
Right. Well, I think that was a very specific time period for that type of music.
Sure. Now, Maddie had a couple of interesting ones. One is one that I was actually going to say, too. But her first one is, so she's really gotten into folk music. You know, she loves Jim Croce. My dad loves Jim Croce. I do. She does. I love John Prine, and she absolutely loves him, too, which I would make an argument that he's been lost to time, but I don't really think it's lost to time because he was still making stuff up until his death.
Mm-hmm.
It's just more of he was always so under the radar.
Yeah.
But Steve Goodman, who was a writing partner and friend of John Prine's, is one that she mentioned. Now, unfortunately, he got cancer and he passed away at a very young age. I think he was like 33, 37.
Oh, wow.
but she's discovered some of his stuff that he was doing before that. And then the other one was Arlo Guthrie, which was one that I was going to say, because if you look at especially the folk scene, you know, everyone knows Bob Dylan.
Mm-hmm.
I think a good portion of people know who Gordon Lightfoot is. I think that if you're into folk, you know who Pete Seeger is. And you probably do know who Arlo Guthrie is. But then I think, but that's the only people that know.
Yeah.
But Arlo Guthrie's got a lot of really good stuff. So, I mean, she's spot on with that one. But yeah, so this really... Of course, my wife for fun said Eddie and the Cruisers. So, so anyone who's seen the movie, if you know, you know. But yeah, I mean, for such an instant silly thought,
yeah,
it turned into a really good question, and a lot of great discussions. Do you have any?
I thought about this on the way up the stairs.
Uh huh.
I don't know that I would say they're lost to time, but they are not really played on the radio, and I didn't hear them as a kid.
Mm-hmm.
But that would be T-Rex.
Ooh, okay, yeah.
Because T-Rex I didn't hear until I was in college.
Mm-hmm.
And they have Bang a Gong, which you do sometimes hear on the radio, very, very rarely.
Yeah.
But other than that, you never hear anything from T-Rex.
Yeah.
And I think, and you know, their lead singer died in a car accident as well.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that kind of puts the, you know... Just the end on that.
Of course.
It's not like they're going to be able to reunite or anything. So, because he was like the guitarist and the singer and the writer, I think. So I think that would be my gut reaction.
Yeah.
T-Rex.
No, that's not bad.
They have some really great songs.
I was thinking of some other bands of that era, and I had thought of Three Dog Night.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a lot of great hits, but I don't know that the younger generation knows who they are.
True.
Yeah, I was really kind of going all over the place with this, and I don't know. It was interesting to think about, and I want to thank everyone who participated and gave us their bands. And if you're hearing this question for the first time, we'd love to hear.
Yeah, still give us an answer.
Yeah, we'd love to hear what your thought is. And I have to say, there were other bands that I wanted to say, like Savoy Brown was kind of on the, because I discovered them late, like just 10 years ago or so. Mm-hmm. But they've been making music since the 60s. I'd never heard of them. And they're a British rock blues band. Now, their lead singer did pass away 7 years ago, I think. But still, to be making music that long, and I mean, I never met anyone who knew who they were.
Yeah.
Until I went to a record show just like 2 weekends ago.
Okay.
So anyone who loves like classic rock and like especially with a blues tilt, man, give them a listen. That is, I love them. I actually listened to that album I bought at that show of theirs. It was from 69 and fantastic. Oh my gosh. It is heavy blues rock too. They really lean into it.
Nice.
But yeah, I was trying to think of other ones I had thought of, and now I can't. I know I sent it to a friend in a text, so let's see if I can find that text really quick. But yeah, I enjoyed it.
Yeah, it's an interesting question. A lot of bands I've never heard of before.
Yeah, and that's what I dug, is then all of a sudden I'm checking out a lot of these bands going, who in the world is that?
Yeah.
Who is that? And so yeah, I thought it was good. Yeah, I enjoyed it. So hope everyone else did too, and I'll try to, you know, channel that magic for a question next month. So yeah. On to August.
August.
It was, I gotta say, it was one of my busier months for actually
consuming
content.
Yes.
There we go.
It was my busy month for making content.
Oh, there you go. Perfect.
I didn't get to consume too much.
That's okay. So, what did you make?
So I finished Don Quixote number 2.
Mm-hmm.
I finished Ghost Rider number one, and literally just like 3 hours ago, I finished Mothman number one.
Nice.
And I'm halfway through Mark one number one. So we'll see if I get that one finished in time. But
awesome.
But like literally every, for the last like 3 weeks, like every like spare day I get,
yeah,
like day off or whatever, I've just been drawing and writing, which has been crazy. You know, it feels really great, but like I'm kind of hitting the wall right now because I'm like, okay, I just finished my third book in a month. Now, granted, those two of those books were already in production when I picked them back up.
Sure.
But not enough to be like, I shouldn't have been able to do this.
Now you know how Jeff Lemire gets it done.
That's right.
You, yeah. Him and Colin Bunn.
I just
churn it out.
I just churned it out. But I need to get the funds to print all that. So I'm waiting for that because I'm printing them one paycheck at a time.
Sweet.
But so.
Just like Johnny Cash, man.
Yeah. So my Don Quixote was, you know, the thing about Don Quixote and Ghost Rider and Mothman to a degree is that they're all going to be multi-issue. Mm-hmm. Well, Mothman is self-contained, but Ghost Rider is going to be about 3 issues.
Yeah.
And who knows how long Don Quixote is going to be. And so it's just like, once I got done with those, I was like, great, now I have to do issue 3. So, what can you do? It's my calling.
To be a creator.
Yeah. So, you know, Don Quixote, I'm about 100 pages adapted.
Uh-huh.
And 48 pages drawn. So, like, I don't have 100 pages written. I've adapted 100 pages into 48 pages story. So, it's, there's stuff I can cut out later on, but, boy.
Yeah.
It's going to be a long journey. But it's okay because, you know, I love it. So, and then Ghost Rider was fun. It was more, it's more of a comedy. I think Don Quixote, the way I draw Don Quixote is kind of a comedy too, but Ghost Riders has some more funny moments and some more serious moments, so I'm calling it kind of a dramedy. I don't know if it is or not, but, and then Mothman, if you're not familiar with my Mothman story, it's a very big homage to Batman with Adam West. I put a lot of sound effects in it. At one point, I even used the sound effect grapple.
Grapple.
Yeah, because it looked like they were just hugging. And I was like, well, I don't really know what to do. Oh, I know. I'll fix it with a sound effect.
I thought he was having problems making a decision.
Yeah. Darn. Grapple. No. Oh, that's great. I'm going to use that. I'm going to use that in a future issue. But he, in this issue, he, well, I should explain Ghost Rider, too. Ghost Rider is a story about,
and that's with a W.
Yeah, writer, not rider. I know, it's kind of hard with my Midwestern accent.
You're twang.
Ghost Rider is about a guy who was a famous writer like 10 years ago, and he's been trying to recapture this magic, and his agent gets him a deal to write a movie novelization, and he doesn't like the movie. So it's kind of a comedy about kind of having to do your work, and it was inspired by me finding the Ghostbusters novelization at the Book Loft. Because I just thought, like, what's it like to be the guy who wrote the novelization of Ghostbusters? So I wrote a whole story about it. So I think it's going to be 3 issues, and we'll see how that goes.
That's awesome.
And it's black and white, so I love it. Although Mothman and Don Quixote less so, Mothman really needs color because his costume is so bright.
Yeah.
But Mothman, in the first issue, he fights the Minuteman, who has stole the Blue Leopard Diamond.
Oh, no.
Yeah. Which is also homage to the Pink Panther. Everything about that book is just one giant homage to something. So that was a lot of fun, though. And I did a lot of drawing stuff that I didn't think I would ever draw, like cars and fighting scenes and crashing through windows and stuff, being tied to giant clock hands. Just stuff that you never think that you're going to see me draw. I did it. And that's what's fun, because that was so out of control, you know. And then Ghost Rider is so low key. It's so much more down to earth.
Yeah.
And then Don Quixote is pretty down to earth, minus the fact that Don Quixote himself is pretty much insane. So, but yeah, I got the books for Don Quixote already. I just ordered Ghost Rider today, and I am going to be ordering Mothman next. So
awesome.
It's going to be a great time. And then in October is when I'm having my release party, so we'll talk about that more as it comes.
Sweet. Cannot wait.
Yeah. I want to do it so I have the maximum amount of time to prepare, mm-hmm. but not before it gets too cold, you know.
Yeah.
Or I want to do it before it gets too cold, because I don't want people to have to come out in the cold and stuff.
That's considerate.
So, yeah, I mean, you know, it's good for sales, too.
Yeah.
No. But, yeah, I'm really excited. I spent a lot of time writing and drawing this stuff. It's really funny because I'm a better writer than I'm an artist, I think.
Uh-huh.
But it's harder for me to write something, I think, because you're pulling that out of the ether.
Mm-hmm.
And you're like, ooh, like, how do I do this? And then drawing it, because it's visual, you can just mess around until you're like, I've got it.
Yeah.
So it was kind of interesting for me because I'm so used to writing. But, and you know, by no means am I Neil Adams or Jack Kirby or anything, but, you know.
Wait a minute, what?
I'm not.
You're not?
I wish I was, but I'm not. But, yeah, and then, you know, it was kind of interesting because Mothman's a little chunky now.
Yes.
I changed his body type because it's more fun to draw. I drew Night Owl from Watchmen, and he's kind of portly. And so I was like, that's kind of fun.
That's kind of fun.
So I think it also promotes body positivity and stuff, so. I don't know.
Yeah. Anyone can be a hero.
Anybody. And, you know, I was going to save that for him getting older, but I was like, why? I may not even ever get there, so.
No, jeez.
I might.
Yeah, you will.
Hopefully.
You got there.
Hopefully. Yeah, and so I've got an idea for the second issue of Mothman, which I'm not even going to think about right now. But I will tell you, it involves a group of four miscreants called the Beat-Alls.
Oh, man.
And they are a gang of musical mischief makers. See, I'm really trying to channel my inner Adam West here.
Yeah.
And I gotta get some shark repellent in there sometime.
Yeah. You got to.
Moth shark repellent.
Yeah. Does he crawl up the side of a building?
He did not in this one because I was like, I already have a lot of homage. Maybe next time.
Need to spread it out.
Yeah, next time. I didn't want it to be all. So, but he does have moth cuffs.
Oh.
Like at one point. So I was watching 66, Batman 66, and he has a pouch that's labeled bat cuffs. So I labeled it moth cuffs. So it says that. So,
nice.
I don't know.
That's excellent.
I know. It's going to be a lot of fun. And then, you know, Don Quixote is such a passion project of mine that getting that second issue done, I was feeling really good. And I was once again able to split it up so it was left off on a cliffhanger.
Ooh.
Because you always want to try and do that when you're serializing something, I think. So, yeah. It's going to be...
I want to come back for more.
It's going to be a fun time, I think. And hopefully all my books are in on time, which they will be because, you know... And then, like I told you, I was probably going to order some prints. So, if there's anything that you guys think would be interesting to see as a print, art print, like an 11 by 17. Are these 11 by 17?
Those are 8 by 10s. Your 11 by 17s are these ones over here.
These here?
Yep.
Okay. Yeah, that's going to be the size. I thought those looked bigger than those. Anyway, we're just pointing around at the visuals that you can't see. But, yeah.
So makes for good radio.
Makes for good, yeah. Just like a face for TV or a face for radio is what I have, right?
There we go.
But, yeah, that was pretty much my whole month, like, They moved my days around so I have more time off now, or like in a row.
Oh, okay.
And I've just been like, okay, let's go, you know, just taking advantage of that. So that was my month.
Wow. Good month.
Yeah, it was very, very, very productive.
Good month. Awesome. Well, we consumed quite a bit of good. New stuff.
Good.
I'll start with the reading first.
Okay.
I read 3 different iterations of Batman.
Okay.
They were all self-contained miniseries, and all of them, I guess I would, well, Elseworldly, okay. You know what I mean? So the first one was called Batman, One Dark Night, and that was done by Jacques.
Oh, yeah.
premise for this one was that there's this new villain that they created, EMP, and they were trying to transport him to Blackgate, or from Blackgate to Arkham, one or the other. Oh gosh, now this was the first one. This was like at the very beginning of the month. They're transporting him from prison to prison.
Yeah,
and Batman's trying to make sure he gets there safely because his power is he feeds off the energy of others, and then they have to do it at night because if he's outside when the sun is out, then we're in trouble.
Okay.
And he gets broken out. Someone's trying to take him, and then someone's also trying to do other things. There's a lot at play. You've got all these gangs, and then you've got other people that show up. It's pretty good. I believe it was 4 or 5 issues. Maybe it was up to 6. The art in it is, I mean, it's jock. It's amazing.
Yeah.
I don't want to give too much away. Okay. You know, it was a very good read. And I read it fast. And, you know, a couple twists in there that were nice. They weren't groundbreaking by any stretch of the imagination, but it was just, you know, it kept the story going. It's like, oh, okay. The next one I read was Batman Noel.
Oh, I think I read that one.
By Lee Bermejo. And it is basically a take on The Christmas Carol.
Maybe not.
By Charles Dickens. And so you've got Batman, and he's being visited by 3 different entities while he's trying to take care of things in Gotham. And I bought it. It was on sale digitally. And so it's like, you know, I think it was like $1.99. I'm like, yeah, okay. Christmas themed and yeah. Batman, come on. It's a really good read. Especially if you're a Batman fan.
Right.
And Christmassy stuff. But the one I enjoyed just thoroughly was Batman Beyond the White Knight.
Mm.
Which is the 3rd installment by Sean Murphy in his White Knight universe. I'm going to keep the Harley one separate. Mm-hmm. I mean, I know they did that, but, you know, anyone who doesn't know, you had, first one you had, it was just called Batman the White Knight.
Yeah.
And then you had Curse of the White Knight, which in this universe, you find out that Bruce Wayne isn't really Bruce Wayne. His family was, they weren't great, and they did some things that put them in place to have all this money and power back in the, you know, revolutionary times or whatnot. And then you have Batman Beyond the White Knight now, which, you know, so Bruce Wayne's been in prison for 10 years, and stuff's hitting the fan, and turns out that he needs to break out to try to right some wrongs. And there we go. That's the story. And so, you know, it brings in other characters. You've got some Red Hood. You've got you got Nightwing. You've got Batgirl. You've got Joker makes an appearance, but I won't spoil too much with that if anyone wants to read it, especially if they've read the first few series. But yeah, so Sean Murphy's just, I mean, again, the art's fantastic. And he's done a really good job of creating this universe that's just separate of everything. It's just, I don't know, it's really cool. And enjoyed it thoroughly. Mm. That's all I read this month.
Well, I will say, before we go on, two things. One, I did get books. I just didn't read very much of them yet.
Oh, sure.
So I started I started reading the Captain Britain Omnibus.
Uh-huh.
Which is just hard to read because it's so big.
Yeah.
It's just physically it's hard to read. I got Richard Dragon Kung Fu Master.
Yes.
Which was pretty cool because it's like, Richard Dragon? Who? you know, I suffer from the curse of, like, the more obscure, the better.
Yep.
You want to talk about bands that are lost to time, talk about characters that are lost to time. Richard Dragon, the Kung Fu fighter.
Absolutely.
And you knew who Richard Dragon was because
yep.
probably because of Soul of the Dragon.
Oh, yeah.
You probably knew him before that.
Yes.
Okay. But a lot of people don't really know Richard Dragon, and the fact that they collected his work, I mean, not his work, but his stories, was crazy to me. So I started reading that, and then I found Shazam Earth's Mightiest Mortal, which is by Denny O'Neil and C.C. Beck, who created Captain Marvel.
Nice.
Shazam. So I started reading that, and I love C.C. Beck's art. It's so cartoony. It really strikes a chord with me. But I did also create my own another superhero you might have seen, Shazam Burger.
Yes.
Girth's Mightiest Warrior.
Yes.
That was inspired by that book. So
fantastic.
And he's got like an Elvis. What is that? Pompadour.
Yes.
Thing.
Yeah.
He's Earth's fattest mortal.
Yeah.
And he's got a cheeseburger instead of a lightning bolt.
He's glorious.
Yeah.
That's his weakness, right? Anytime he goes past a burger stand, yeah. he's got to stop.
That's his weakness and his strength, because he's got to eat burgers, maybe.
Oh man.
But his name also stands for something. You know that? Did I share that?
Or no, you did not share that.
It is... So Shazam stands for the name of Greek heroes and gods. Shazam Burger, because...
Oh, boy.
If I can find it, his name is Shazam, and it stands for, maybe I can just remember.
This is riveting, folks.
Sorry. We'll edit this out.
No, don't do that. This is real. This is life.
Subway.
Hardee's.
Arby's. Zaxby's. God for Zaxby's.
Oh.
A&W and McDonald's.
No.
So when you say the word Shazam, you become Shazam Burger.
Nice.
So, now, the other thing that I wanted to talk about, because you were talking about Batman, was I didn't do a bracket this month.
Yeah.
Because I was so busy writing and drawing, but I decided what my bracket is going to be.
Okay.
Bat suits. And that's what I was looking at a list of. There's so many bat suits.
Yeah.
I could easily do 32.
Easily.
So.
This is going to be a tough one.
It's going to be a tough one for you.
Yeah.
Do you have a favorite? Off the top of your head?
Oh, man. Do I have a favorite? I'm assuming you're crossing movie and written, or are you just doing...
Both. I'm doing comics and movies.
Yeah.
And cartoons.
Oh, my gosh. You know, and I've got some art and figures that I could stare at right here.
Yeah.
I mean, how can you top Keaton's, right?
Yeah.
It's just sentimentally...
Yeah.
That's probably my favorite because, you know, a kid of a certain age when that movie came out, and it was just like, yeah. But I'll tell you, there's in the comics, they've come up with some good ones. And so, geez, yeah. So now it's all flooding to me. So, you know, Batman by Gotham by Gaslight.
Yeah.
I love that.
Yeah.
I love that costume. That is great. I love the High Seas Batman.
Oh,
which
yeah.
I have that figure right behind me. That's
I didn't think about that one.
That's a great one. The Cowboy, the Western Batman,
yeah.
Is really good. The Russian
Batman is
Batman from
Red Sun
is excellent. Yeah.
Well, I'll tell you what. I'll lay them all out in
this is going to be
this
fun.
This coming month. And
yeah.
Well, isn't September Batman Day?
Yes.
So I'll do it in September, and then
perfect.
I'll compile the suits now, and
sweet. Look for
it,
folks.
There will be some
folks.
Surprises in there.
Look
I think.
For it.
I'm gonna tell you right now. I think my favorite. I've always had a soft spot. I've always had a soft spot for the blue and gray, the Neil Adams kind of look.
Yeah.
I've always had a soft spot for that.
We're on the same page because. When the animated series started, he was blue and gray. And then they switched to the black cape. The blue and gray is really, yes.
That's why. And I think Batman Brave and the Bold, the cartoon, always has been a favorite of mine.
Yeah.
Because it was on when I was younger, you know?
Yeah.
So I love that costume. So that's going to be in there for sure.
Yeah.
Brave and the Bold.
Yeah.
And there will be a vampire making an appearance.
Ooh, okay. Yeah. Oh, my goodness.
This is going to be a tough one for you.
This is going to be a tough one. Oh, my gosh. Because you got Batman as a Green Lantern.
Yep.
Oh. Oh.
Can't forget Zarin R.
Yeah. No. Jeez. Jeez. Okay. Yeah.
Just giving you a heads up.
Oh, I appreciate it. I'm going to lose sleep now.
Mm-hmm. It's going to be tough for everybody, I think, because some people are going to be like, I don't really care. And then other people are going to be like, oh, I care a lot.
Yeah. Yeah. They won't realize how much they care until they have until to decide. Until they see it. Yeah. It's kind of like choosing which kid you want in divorce.
That's right.
Yeah.
I know that probably all too well.
All right. So I watched...
Oh, yeah.
Three new TV series.
Okay.
Well, one's a second season of one I've already watched. I will mention really briefly, though. I won't go into details because, you know, I'm sure no one cares. But I did finish the latest entry of Forged in Fire that was on Netflix. I just thoroughly enjoy that show.
Yeah.
And I know it's not very historic. I mean, they're making weapons of history. I'm using air quotes here. Some of them are, but yeah, I just what some of those guys can make, it's amazing. But anyways, on to, so a new show that I started watching, I think I texted you about this. It's called Scavenger's Reign.
I think you did, I don't remember though.
And that's reign as in, you know, reign of a kingdom.
Right.
It is a, I had, after seeing the trailer for it, after re-seeing the trailer, because I saw a video and a person's like, you've got to watch this.
Yeah.
And I'm like, well, that looks pretty cool. And then I found it on Netflix, and Max still has it too. So if you have Max, it's on there. It was a Max series, but they canceled it after season one. But I watched the trailer, and I vaguely remember seeing that trailer by Max saying, hey, look what's coming soon. So it's a sci-fi. It's animated. The premise is you've got these groups of scientists that were on this ship that, for one reason or another, they had to all use escape pods to get out. So the show starts with, you know, this other ship, you know, trying to get everyone to go where they need to be going, and then they're being told that this one particular ship was circling, and they couldn't get hold of them. And it turns out some of them made it, and they're on this planet. So where you pick up the story is that they've already been on this planet for quite a while. You see several of them with their little check marks of days, and you're talking months. And so you're seeing how they've started to adapt to this planet, you know, learning what things do what and what's dangerous and what's not. And it is just, the animation style is amazing. The story is just so good. Watched it with the kids, and they are invested. So we're going to keep watching. It's like 10 episodes. But from what I was heard, it ends well. So it has closure. So you're not going to watch it and go, man, well, now I'll never know, because there's no season two. So if you're into sci-fi animation, one thing I did forget to mention too is apparently the people who created this, you know, spent 10 years building this world and getting the animation right and doing this, doing that, and finally getting it made.
Mm-hmm.
So it was truly a passion project. Phenomenal. The animation is just great. Scavenger's Reign. Cannot recommend enough, just based on what I've seen.
Okay.
Maybe it's a turd after I watch more, but I don't think so. The next big one that everyone watched was on Prime, and that was Batman Caped Crusader. Did you?
I still haven't watched it. No.
Oh, my gosh.
Sorry. How many episodes is it? 8 or 10?
It is 8.
Okay.
And we watched it in 2 days. It is, so they're 27 minutes, right around there. Fantastic. Bruce Timm just knocks it out of the park. Ed Brubaker wrote one of the episodes. He's a producer.
Wow.
Matt Reeves, J.J. Abrams. The voice cast is just phenomenal. The guy who does, and I sit there and say, the guy who plays Batman, I'm forgetting his name right now, just nails it. So this is kind of like, I won't say it's canon. You know, it's done in the style like the original animated series. You know, everything looks older, but it actually, they don't have some of the technology, right?
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to say that this is, you know, canon for a different universe, yeah. Because, you know, some of the characters are not the same as we've seen them before. And I won't say anything else than that, so that everything's fresh for you.
Right.
But I will say the first episode is probably the weakest of the eight, but it's still really good. Like, you get done with it and you're like, okay, yeah, I'm ready for episode two. And then it just takes off from there. Hmm. It is... It's each episode, they have their own mystery to solve, but then there's an overarching story too, that plays out in the last couple of episodes, and it is just fantastic, absolutely fantastic. The art, the animation is just beautiful. Again, the voice cast just knocks it out of the park.
Okay.
Definitely need to check it out.
Yeah.
I think you will dig it. And if you're a Batman fan out there in the interwebs, you'll like it too. The other show we watched was Broadchurch Season 2.
Oh, yeah.
So, we talked about Broadchurch Season 1 a while ago. Found out we could watch it on YouTube, and then we ended up getting Peacock, and it's on there too. So, so Broadchurch, to bring anyone up to speed, Season 1... You find a young boy that's been murdered, and so the whole first season is catching the killer. Season two is the trial of said killer. And man, I really thought I was ready for some twists, right?
Yeah.
Because the first season... I did not get it until the second to last episode, yeah. Right? So every time I saw something, I was second-guessing everything. I'm like, oh, this, oh, that, oh, no, no. And then it just ended up making it worse because I'm like, man, this isn't right. And but they did it again. It was absolutely phenomenal. Absolutely. The only thing I question now is because the way they ended season two, it has a finality to it.
Yeah.
But there's a season three.
Season three, which I haven't watched, so.
So we're about to.
Okay.
I'm just curious how they're going to do that.
Yeah,
because,
I'm not sure.
Season two, they tied up in a nice bow, I thought. Yeah. So, now again, we're going to watch it.
Yeah.
And I'm sure we'll... David Tennant is
right.
Freaking amazing. Olivia Colman was great in it, again. Jodie Whittaker. I mean, it was, and then Sharon had to point it out. The guy who plays Lee Ashworth in it, he was Jarvis in Agent Carter. He was. What's the actor's name that played Stark? But yeah, he was Stark's butler, Jarvis. So, and he was really good in it. I mean, so was the woman who played his wife. I mean, just the whole season was fantastic. Again, only eight episodes. They are longer because, you know, they're a one-hour serial. So they're like, what, 44 minutes,
yeah.
45 minutes? But my gosh, that show is... Again, it's a British show, so of course it's underrated. Because, you know, it doesn't play that much over here. But my God, that is fantastic.
Yeah.
Absolutely love it. Two movies.
Yeah.
One, so this, me talking about this movie is going to seem out of place, once you hear a future episode. So, we'll give you a peek behind the curtain. We've already recorded our Nick Cage, with the World of Nick Cage episode with, my buddy Travis. And in that episode, it is discussed how he couldn't believe I hadn't watched his Western the old way yet. So after, literally as soon as that episode was, we were done and you guys left,
mm-hmm.
I went through every streaming service and found as many Nick Cage movies as I could. So on Hulu, I found The Old Way, I found Butcher's Crossing, I found The Retirement Plan, I found the one that he was talking about, Victim of... Shoot. Anyways. And then found a bunch on Prime, found some on Max. So I'm Nick Caging it up, people. So I did watch The Old Way, which is the Western. And so the premise of that, he's a gunfighter,
yeah,
/ killer. He's found a woman. They have a kid. Now he owns a shop. But his past comes back to haunt him. I know this is brand new material. What I will say about the movie, and I told Travis this as soon as I ended up watching it, you don't get any cage rage. I was expecting some real gratuitous Western violence.
Yeah.
Do not get that, really. It is more of a slow burn where, you know, his character's interactions with his daughter, and then, you know, just trying to track down this guy that did their family wrong. And I don't know, it was just, the ending was, I saw it from a mile away, but man, it was enjoyable. Being a fan of Westerns and Nick Cage, I enjoyed it. I do not feel like my time was wasted. I will say that the set pieces and the costumes felt very forced and like we were on a B movie. You know, it was very, you know, very obvious we were watching a movie. How about that? Okay. You know what I mean? It just had that feel to it. But if you're a Western fan or you enjoy Nick Cage movies, it's definitely worth a watch. I'd give it a solid 6.5 stars. I liked it.
Okay.
The other new movie we watched this month was Alien Romulus. We went and saw that at the theater.
That sounds good.
You've not seen yet?
Nope.
Okay, so again, I will try to do this as spoiler-free as possible. So, I mean, the movie's been out for almost a month now by the time this will come out, right?
Yes.
At least a few weeks. But I'll still keep it spoiler-free. I misunderstood the timeline that this movie was happening. I thought it was happening before Alien. Like, it was bridging Prometheus or Covenant, whichever was the second one. I thought it was between that and Alien.
Yeah.
And so you were finding out how Alien came to be. This is actually between Alien and Aliens. So the movie starts right after Alien ended.
Okay.
So practical effects, as always, absolutely amazing. The xenomorphs look great. Everything just looks amazing. The main actress did a really good job, as did the gentleman who played her android companion. He did amazing. I wish I had their names, but I did not write them down. We're not that kind of podcast. But they did really good. The action was enjoyable. So there were a few set pieces where we questioned why they looked the way they looked. And these aren't for the xenomorphs. It's what the xenomorphs came out of.
Oh.
There was some imagery, some symbolism maybe.
Oh.
And it really kind of smacked you right in the face.
Okay.
So the one big problem I had with it, and I don't know what you've heard, and this has been the big problem that most people had. Now, it did not enrage me as much as some people, but they use the likeness of someone from a past movie in this. And at first I thought, oh wow, that actor looks kind of similar to blah blah blah. Again, I won't spoil for you. And then once I realized, I started putting all the pieces together because, you know, I'm dense sometimes. I was doing the timeline, and I'm like, oh, no, they're supposed to look like them. Ugh. So that was kind of a put off. It's like, you know, I'm sure they were trying to pay homage, and because there were some other nods in there, right? But it's just, I don't know. It was just so bad looking, and that was the other thing. Is it just? It was so bad looking that I thought it was, oh, he's just a doppelganger. No, it was them doing digital, trying to do digital recognition, or not recognition, but you know what I mean. Kind of like what they did with Tarkin and...
Like digital de-aging?
Yeah.
No, because it's not the actual person. It's...
Yeah. The actor is no longer with us.
Okay.
Yeah. So, yeah, that I was put off by that by little... But overall, the movie I thought was very enjoyable, had great action, and it's what you would expect from a couple jump scares.
Okay.
And I think it's what you would expect from an alien movie. So, I think you'd enjoy it overall.
Yeah, it looked pretty good.
I liked it. It will be in our library once it's available to have. I will say the one thing I was kind of impressed the most with was at the very beginning when you're looking at the ships and stuff, they look like they were from the 70s and 80s. The interior of the ships and the buttons and how the screens look and everything. It was
cool.
Very good. So it was nice that they kept to that detail.
Yeah.
So Alien Romulus, you know, 6.8 maybe.
6.8 on the Richter scale.
Maybe a 7, but, you know, again, I'm biased because I really enjoy the Alien movies.
Yeah.
It's better than a lot of the other ones that have been in it.
Yeah.
I will say for the ending, if you've not seen the first two movies, you may not understand what was happening and what the point of all of that was. So you probably should watch Covenant and Prometheus first.
Okay.
So that you kind of know. Otherwise, you'll just be like, what in the hell are they doing? So, but yeah, that was my phone hitting the thing. I forgot we're recording. But yeah, that was the month, man.
Yeah. More stuff in there than I thought, actually.
Oh my gosh, I added to the story.
Oh, you did?
Yeah. Yeah. I was... One of the days I was at work and I had a long lunch break.
Mm-hmm.
I got done eating and I had my Chromebook out and I got into Google Docs because I had to do some stuff for work. And there was Witt's Weird Western.
Yeah.
So I got in there and started tinkering. I've only added a few pages to it, but yeah, we're going down that path again, man. So hopefully,
good.
Eventually, I have something for you.
Yeah. That'll be interesting.
Yeah. You're busy enough as it is, so I know I've got time to...
Yeah, I'm kind of cooling down right now, though.
That'll be fun to try to do all the photography for. And I told you Parker said that they would help us, right?
Oh, no, you didn't.
Yeah. Parker's very much into photography. So I asked him the last time I was at the house if they would mind helping.
Okay.
I said yes.
So. Nice.
So I think that will be a huge, huge help.
Yeah, I think so too.
So,
yeah, I look forward to that.
Yeah, I think even if we wanted to I could share some of the pages with them and hey, start thinking of some ways that we could shoot this.
Yeah,
just to get a jump start.
I love it.
Could be fun.
Yeah, it's gonna be fun.
Looking forward to it, and maybe it'd be perfect to do it in the wintertime because we'd be cooped up, so we could just, you know, build the sets and the dioramas and just go to town.
Oh yeah,
so that could be good. So yeah, I don't think I've got anything else.
Not me.
I didn't buy any. Oh, I did go to a record sale in Westerville.
Okay.
They put it on three times in the fall, I believe, is the deal. Several vendors in there. Dozens upon dozens. So that was neat. That's where I found the one record for Weldy, the King Crimson.
Yeah.
I ended up getting an older Meatloaf album.
Nice.
I got the Savoy Brown.
Yeah.
I got this jazz album from a artist. He's originally from New Orleans, but he was based in at Wright Patt. He was in the Air Force. He was based at Air Patt for a while, and he ended up staying on in Dayton and had like a little local band. So I have a record of his. I got CCR, a double live album.
Oh, nice.
In Europe. I got the Superman soundtrack.
The original movie?
The original movie. And I got, oh, that Transformers album.
Oh, yeah.
So that, as I thought it was probably, was a Transformers story. And so you have voice actors just doing out the story, and then you have a narrator, and so that's what it was. Pretty cool, though. So anyone of my age will remember those records. We had them. They did them for all kinds of things. Transformers, they did G.I. Joe. I had a bunch of He-Man 45s, and but so that'll go with my... I've got a Batman one and a Lone Ranger one, maybe a couple others. But the guy that I bought that from says he has a Conan. Now,
ooh.
I said a Conan soundtrack because I would very much like to have that.
Yeah.
And he goes, yeah, I got Conan in Chicago when I got Transformers. And I said, okay. He goes, but I didn't bring it with me. Will you be at the next show? And he goes, yes. Now, I will not be able to be there because I'm going to start working weekends. And so, well, he has already said that he knows the vendor.
Oh, okay.
Because he's always there.
Right.
My fear is that it's going to be a Conan read-along story, yeah, like the Transformers or the Batman I already have, when I really want Conan the soundtrack.
Yeah.
So, I'm prepared to be let down.
No.
But it also wouldn't be bad having the regular Conan either.
Yeah.
So, we'll see how that goes. I'll report back when that happens. So, yeah. Some records, some TV, some books. I'm looking at the stack of comics that I got at Gem City Con. Haven't read one darn one, and now I'm feeling bad about it.
That's
so
okay.
I've got to...
You can read them for next time.
Yep. So there we go. August.
August in the books.
In the books. Here we come.
The comic books.
September, which we all know in this household, September just means early Shocktober.
Yep.
So let the horror movies begin.
Let's do it.
I mean, we watch them year-round, but
right
now we really watch them. So looking forward to that. So we'll have to start playing around.
Yeah.
That has to be a survey question at some point, right? Favorite horror movie?
Yeah,
have
definitely.
We done that?
I don't know. Maybe. But I don't think so.
Maybe we'll do what's your most underrated horror movie?
Yeah, there you go. That's a good
idea.
Maybe
we'll do that.
There you go.
Yeah. Or which horror movie gets lost in the mix?
Yeah.
I guess that's the same as underrated.
Lost to time.
It's not lost. Oh, yeah. No, let's not do that again. Underrated. I like
underrated,
that.
Underrated, okay.
I like underrated.
Sounds good.
Cool. All right, man. You got anything else?
That's it for me.
That's it for you?
Yeah.
Well, I guess that's it for me, which means for all of you guys too. So, albums, or not albums, musicians, bands lost to time. If you've got one, let us know. Hit us up on Facebook, the Gram, either on the Nerd Podcast pages or, you know, Jordan or I's.
Yeah.
So I'd love to hear. And if you guys knew any of those bands that we mentioned earlier from our friends, let us know. I'd love to. I mean, I hardly knew any of them. So, all righty, guys. Well, thank you so much, and we'll see you next time around. Stay nerdy.